Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business: outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, where it's very windy today, and I happen to be outside, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. I'm going to try and keep the wind noise down to a minimum, but we have got a great show lined up for you guys today. We have my co-host and friend, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. It sounds like you're in the middle of Tornado Alley.
I know. This wind just came out of nowhere. It was great all morning, not a breeze even. And all of a sudden, all the clouds rolled in, and now it's super windy. I guess I'm going to have to go back inside.
Oh, well. We'll miss the birds.
I put my
week.
Husband to work this week. He's working for me this week and next, selling tickets for the World Cairo Conference Exhibitor Hall.
Oh,
so if
perfect.
I go back inside, then we've got him on phones and me on phones in the same room. That's not too good. I might
the
just
joys
have
of technology
you.
And weather all combined.
There you go. So why don't you do the honors of sharing who our guest is and what we're going to be talking about?
I would be delighted. I have been waiting so many weeks to be able to share Devorah Spillman with our listeners. I have known Devorah for more than 20 years and marveled at her as an amazing storyteller. Personally have experienced her in so many different environments and so many different settings using this skill and this craft she has of storytelling. And very recently, she's shifted into the entrepreneurial pursuit of helping other people find their own story and use it. And I am just so delighted, Devorah, to have you joining us today.
Thank you, Linda. It is really my great pleasure.
So,
Devorah, I keep having deja vu about this. Have you and I ever talked before on the show?
I don't think so.
That's what Linda said. And for some reason, when she brought your name up, I'm like, oh my goodness, I know her. She's got an amazing message. And I went looking, and it's the message I seem to think about in my head as being attached to you. I don't know how I think I know you.
It's somehow probably through Linda, but probably
absolutely.
Not from talking.
It must have been, but I've been really excited to have you here as well for that very reason.
Well, thank you so much.
So, Gina, you and I spend a lot of time talking about story, talking about message, talking about how people create relationship with others, and I knew it would be absolutely perfect to bring Devorah on, and I can't wait for her to share on two fronts. One is her shift to this entrepreneurship for herself, because her business is growing by leaps and bounds by the shifts she's making. And also, the real fact that you and I spend so much time talking about how can we help people understand how to get at their story and how to use it. And Devorah's the master of doing that. So it's like, yay, a perfect fit for our audience.
And you know, what's even funnier, Linda, was this weekend, I happened to be turning the TV on late at night, both Saturday and last night. Both nights, wouldn't you know, there's a movie with Jessica Tandy called The Story Lady that was on both Saturday night and last night on two completely different channels.
I guess I should change my name to The Story Lady, huh?
There you go.
Well, it's there like is the a story lady saying. Who's my old co-host. You don't want to do that.
Okay,
just
okay.
The whole idea of stories and how telling your story can really make a difference in selling whatever it is that you've got to offer really mm-hmm. came through in that movie.
It's extremely important, and now more than ever, I see that people in business are talking about this. And, you know, it's so funny how powerful it is, because this morning I went to look on my Facebook page, and an amazing, amazing entrepreneur, financial planner named Luna Jaffe, who has a new book called Wild Money, and is an amazing person, is feeling, she's writing, I'm very scared because I'm giving a 7-minute talk, and I have to tell my story, and I just feel so insecure to do it. And she's extraordinary. And it's fascinating, I think, how often, for whatever reasons, we feel afraid to tell our authentic story. And at the same time, that's what makes people feel inspired and connected to us. And so I guess the question people often have is, how do I tell that authentic story?
You know what's so interesting, as you were talking about her, is I was reflecting on the fact that we talk so often about, you know, the human being is wired for story because we used to sit around campfires and share stories, and somehow we're all perfectly comfortable becoming gossips about others, speaking about others, and there's this veil or wall that seems to pop up as soon as it's about, as you just said, speaking authentically about ourselves.
Right. I think it comes to some extent from, first of all, whatever your pain is and the struggles you've gone through and overcome, those really are what give you your expertise. And if you've gone through something very painful and difficult and you have come out the other side and you are clear and strong and powerful after having gone through a very difficult time, you can really help people who are farther behind you in that process. But in order to do that, you have to be able to tell your success story. And one of the things I teach people is if you're going to go in and tell your painful story, you have to put the success right on top of it from the start. So, for example, I say, how did I get started doing this story selling work, this training entrepreneurs? I kind of got what I call a compassionate swift kick to the rear. And that meant that after teaching children for 12 years in Portland, Oregon, starting out storytelling and moving more and more into teaching, I really wanted to leave but was dragging my feet and got basically kicked out. And I knew at the time that I got kicked out that it wasn't really about them. It was really time for me to move on. And from the moment I left full-time teaching, people began asking me to help them with storytelling in their businesses. And I thought, I know, I'll call it story selling. And then, of course, I went online, and there were many things called story selling because people really get that in order to sell, you need your story. And although it's true you need your inner authentic story, you need a number of other kinds of stories to be kind of in your arsenal of stories. So one is your own personal authentic story. Being able to actually tell the success stories of your clients and knowing what story to tell, when, and how to tell it. And then there's another work I do with image and metaphor that is also very powerful. So we can, you know, Linda, kind of however you want, we can go through kind of each of those and how you can use them.
I would love to, you know, devote a portion of our conversation today to each of those. There's something very interesting. You know, when Gina shares her story, it's rich with the pain and the struggle to success. And there are so many stories I hear people share which are their authentic stories, and I've watched my own hesitance because I've had my struggles, and when I come out the other end victorious, I want to put it behind me. So there's a really important thing that you're pointing out, which is the place for connection is to be able to take elements of our past and share them authentically, reconnect with them for ourselves to put them in our story because it creates the connection with others.
That's
and
right.
Before Devorah responds to that, let me just add this. The story that I tell so often, I've crafted it very carefully, and I haven't always told it the way that I tell it today. I've tested many different ways of doing things. If I'm going to be on a stage or in a webinar, more often than not, any of the gurus out there that teach you how to sell from stage, they teach you not to introduce yourself and tell your story at the beginning of the presentation, but to gradually lead into that, say, 10 to 15 minutes into a one-hour presentation. My story, with the way that it is currently crafted, actually does better in selling if I do it right up at the beginning, before I talk about anything other than, this is what we're going to talk about today, but before we do, let me tell you who I am and a little bit more about me so that I can give context to it.
Right.
If I don't do that right up front and wait that 10 to 15 minutes, give a full thing about what they're going to get out of this call first, and then go to my story, sales suck. The minute I do my story up front and get them to connect with me at an emotional level, it doesn't really matter what I do after that. They're going to buy at the end every time. And I think that, you really get why that works that way.
That it's so great to hear you say that, because it really is so fundamental, because I need to feel that emotional connection to feel that I am actually going to get my needs met. And people do actually make decisions from their emotions and their feelings, and then they apply their intellect to their decision. But you're right, that emotional connection is really what pulls people in, and it builds trust, and it is what makes us feel good as human beings. A lot of times the stories we tell each other are very inspiring, and when a person feels inspired, it feels so good to be inspired. So often people go through their lives on automatic, and a story lifts you up out of that automatic and takes you into another place that is very deeply nourishing. And we crave that. It's like we're starving for that. It's what you could call food for the soul. And when we feed that in each other, and when we create our businesses from that place, we create a really different world to live in. And I think as women, that is part of what we're doing in a way. Not that men don't do it as well, but I think it is a really powerful gift that we as women also contribute to this conversation.
In this world, for the last 5 years, I've been immersed in this world of internet marketing and watching people on webinars and listening to them on teleseminars and so on. And very often when they're telling their story, it's about a life crisis that has them near starvation, near death, and so on. And in observing those stories, my own personal reaction has constantly been, but that's not at the root of why I do what I do. And it's not at the root of where my passion lies. And so I have found myself in ways, I mean, Dora, you know my background. You know I've had plenty of health dramas. I've had plenty of familial, you know, deaths and losses. But those aren't what underlies my story about why I'm passionate about helping entrepreneurs unleash their potential and so on. And so I have been what I suspect is you know, an example of many of our listeners who are grappling, trying to say, but now where do I find the elements of the story that helps create connection with people?
Well, do you want to try something?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay, so even though we're on a phone conversation and people will be listening however they're listening whenever, I actually always help people with that issue by telling them to close their eyes and breathe. And before we do it, I'll tell you why. Because sometimes the answer is in a different part of ourselves. It's in our unconscious. It's somewhere else. And just trying harder to find it doesn't tend to work. So I have a process called metaphor success. And it's looking for the metaphors that and images that represent what you do. And there's a step-by-step process that actually has an anagram called STATE that you can go through to find these metaphors and images in a way that is outside of just thinking harder about it. And we'll go ahead and do it in just a minute, but it can be used for the purpose we're going to do now, which is to get some hints and inklings to some core images about yourself. It can also be used as a way of having a metaphor for a very complicated idea, and we can talk more about that afterwards. So,
cool. So
Linda, Gina, you can join along too, and anybody else who is listening to this at any time. What you should do is you should close your eyes and stop. That's the first S in state, is just stop doing anything. Close your eyes and notice your breath, and just be kind of quiet and notice your breath going in and out. And feel that stillness that happens when you just stop. And even though we're on a telephone interview, we'll have just a moment of silence to really feel that. Feel how different it is to be still and quiet. We so rarely do it. And one of the things I like to do is just imagine that you can feel your breath breathing inside of you. And now feel that breath breathing outward to the three of us connected on the phone here, and anyone else who's listening, and to anyone else around you in your own house or your own office or your own area. And feel your breath begin to breathe outward to your city. And just till you feel your breath breathe outward, till you feel the world breathing with you. And then bring the breath awareness back into your city and your neighborhood, your physical space, the people around you. And back breathing into yourself. And then, so now Linda and anybody else listening, think about what you do in the world. Just think about it. Just think about all of the work you do in the world. Just let it flow through your mind. Just think about it. What do you do? Who do you help? Why do you do it? Just let your mind just roam through thinking about what you do. This is the second step in state. Stop and breathe. Think about what you do in the world. What is your work in the world? And the next is A for ask. Ask, just ask outwardly. Ask your subconscious, ask the universe. Ask for an image. Ask the question, what is the image or metaphor for what I do in the world? And then you go right to the next T, which is trust. Trust whatever pops into your mind, no matter what it is. Just trust whatever pops into your mind. Even if the image makes no sense to you at all. Do you have an image, Linda?
The image that came
to me...
Don't
tell me yet. Just tell me if you have one.
I do.
Gina, do you have one? Okay, we may have lost Gina there.
I do. Sorry, no,
okay,
I was muted.
Do.
I do.
Okay, you do. Okay, good. If you're listening to this and you don't have an image, a fun thing to do is pick what kind of shoe would you be, what kind of shoe represents what you do in the world. And this is good if no image pops into your head, choose what kind of shoe represents you. That's just a tip I do if somebody says nothing came to me. And the last step is E, explain or interpret your image. So, Linda, what you're going to do now is you're going to tell me your image, and then you're going to say how that image is like what you do in the world.
So the image that came to me was of two hands reaching out to take another person's two hands.
And how is that like what you do in the world?
It's so funny, grappling for words to go with the imagery. What I do so often is reach out and hold my hand so that someone who's feeling overwhelmed or lost can take a hold, emotionally or mentally, of still hands in order to pause, to anchor, to feel assured that they're not alone, that there's someone to help, that they're that it, someone who can hold them, stabilize them, assist them is here, in fact, to do that. It's the a part of it is the offering of the hands that the other
mm-hmm.
person
mm-hmm.
needs to reach out and take them. It's like all combined in that image.
That's a beautiful image, and hands have such powerful imagery to them. We can hold with our hands can heal, our hands can lead. The image of our hands and holding out a hand is a very powerful metaphor for a kind of an assistance that often in very difficult times, that's I'll give you a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sense that you don't have anybody there. And Linda, really, I know you for so long. It is so true about you. You really are a rock of support, and you really do always hold your hand out to anybody who needs it. It's a very powerful force inside of you. And I think that, you know, you may find if we, when we, after we go through this part, maybe we'll go into telling a story that has events in it, not a metaphor. But I think you'll find that your story will be about the helping and holding out of hands, not so much health and family.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go, we'll finish, I'll hear Gina's image, and then we can go and talk a little bit about personal story as well. But it, that is such a deep and powerful image of who you are. And I have been blessed to hold those hands.
Mm-hmm.
Gina, what was your image?
My image is a puzzle box cover with a candle on it. And what I do with people is kind of like I'm giving them both all of the pieces to a jigsaw puzzle and the puzzle box. So often people who are trying to build businesses, they've got all the pieces to a puzzle. They're all laid out on the table in front of them, but they don't have the puzzle box to look at to help them figure out how to assemble those pieces. And working through my programs, it's like you're getting both the puzzle box and help putting the puzzle together. And I've never seen the candlestick, the lit candle, on the puzzle box until you asked the question today. And it's kind of like I'm helping people to assemble businesses that really are candles in the world that can really touch the lives of other people.
Mm. Beautiful image. Excellent. That really gives me a real sense of what you do in the world. And that's exactly what an image or a metaphor is for, because you can say to somebody what you just said, you can say in a very short amount of time. And when I work with entrepreneurs, like trying to work on their elevator speech, for example, that we're all told to have, that kind of a metaphor that you just used, look how short it took you, how short a time it took you to say that, and how much information was contained in that image. And then,
well, when I'm on a webinar or speaking from stage, even my PowerPoint theme that I had created for me actually has a puzzle piece missing from a puzzle in the corner of the theme. So all my slides have that puzzle imagery, and I do use it all the time.
Yep. And that is when people who are just starting out doing this work can be very, very helpful for them to find that kind of image branding. I worked with a woman who is a financial planner to do this work, and she didn't get an image, so I said, pick a shoe. She said, well, I'm like a slipper because I want people to feel comfortable and at home, and I want them to be able to sleep at night. That's the kind of financial planner I am. And it can become a branding image. And so often when people do this work at the beginning of their work, they come to be able to do what you just described, Gina, which is have a metaphor that they consistently use to contain their message. I worked with a friend of ours, a friend that Linda also mutually knows, who is a software developer and works for companies was proposing a contract actually to Microsoft and used a metaphor that I taught him to use to explain an extremely, extremely complicated contract offer. And they won their contract, and everybody talked all the time about the contract using his metaphor, because otherwise they had no other way to talk about it. because it was so complicated. And they were very impressed because they had never actually known you could use a metaphor to talk about something technical. And it's a very, very, this tool, Metaphor Success, is a very powerful tool, can be used in a lot of ways. The other way that I use it is in a training called In Story, which I'm actually off to do tomorrow. I'm doing a full-day training for a nonprofit called Camp Corey that provides camp for children with medically life-altering medical conditions. And In Story takes a team, like a team like at a nonprofit or any business, and has them do this process and share their images with each other. And it is an unbelievable thing to take a group of people together who work together through this process. They get both content in terms of the metaphors about what their business does in the world, and they talk very deeply about each other without really realizing that that's what they're about to do. And images both deep and powerful and concrete enough to make it safe to talk about in a group. So this is a very unique core process that I use with both individuals and with groups, and can be purposed in a number of different directions. And as you can see, for both of you, it gives you so much of the core of what you do in the world.
Yeah, it's interesting because in thinking about that image, it's so much information comes inside one image. You know, there's sentences
mm-hmm.
and sentences of explanation
mm-hmm.
trying
mm-hmm.
to transmit it. You know, because I was very clear when I had my hands out and someone else was choosing to reach and take my hands, that it's all of a piece with the entrepreneurs I work with who get so overwhelmed and so stalled and hit the stage of, I literally don't know what it is I'm supposed to know next to run my business next, at its
mm-hmm.
next level. And that act of holding my hands out and them taking it allows me to take a step backwards uphill and
mm-hmm.
let them step up to their next level as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so interesting
mm-hmm.
how much information from my
right.
side is inside that image and that metaphor, and now it's then, you know, how to then transform it into language so that when it's spoken, it resonates for others and so on. So,
well, it depends a little bit where that person is, and that's the image of the hands. I will meet you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to go up a steep hill, I will walk backwards up that hill because I know this hill really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I can walk backwards up this hill holding your hand so you can get to the top of this hill when you don't think you can make it. Right? So it depends where the person is that you're talking about. Maybe somebody feels like they're drowning and you are reaching down into the pool and you're lifting them up out of that. So you can also take your client through a metaphor for the difficulty they're having. And then you can take the image of the hands, because almost every stuck place that a person's in, your hands can help them out of that stuck place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can say, there's nowhere I can't reach you.
Mm.
There's nowhere I can't reach you. You know, and that's such a powerful message that you want to give somebody.
Yeah.
And then you could go in and do another level of imaging that's like more specific to the more, that's like the core inner message, and that's where you went because I asked you to go there. And because it's also how you find which story to tell, but you can then begin to give more imagistic clothing to that core message, like I did, like in a pool, on a hill. You can give more and more images to attach to that image,
mm-hmm.
and you can get more and more concrete. Now, if you want, we can do a quick little work on looking at what you want to tell as your story. That's your image. Which is
sure.
a kind of a story. It's a story in a picture. But there's also the story that you tell about something that you went through in your life that led you to do the business that you do, or that gave you the expertise to be able to help the people that you help. And so what we'll do is we're going to do this a similar thing all over again. I'm still going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to look for that story. Go inside and ask yourself, what story is core to making me an expert for my clients? Now, when you encountered this story, Gina, I think you have a set story. Linda, did you connect to a story?
What I have is a series of experiences.
So I'm going to ask you to pick one to start with.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to another one, but I'm going to ask you to pick one because being specific,
sure,
when you tell a story and using details and sensory information makes a big difference. So what I want you to do is pick one,
mm-hmm,
right?
Okay.
Now, before you tell it, I'm going to tell you a few instructions.
Cool.
So pick that one. You're going to do it in your mind before you tell it. Because when you do that, once you do it in your mind, the story will just kind of tell itself. And in professional settings, what I'll often tell people is after you do this work, you'll memorize maybe the first line and the last line, and you'll let the rest tell itself. But for now, choose that one experience that you're going to use, and then I want you to think about where are you, and just really concretely picture where you are. See where you are. Just do this all silently. Pick something that you're wearing, even if you don't remember exactly. What's the weather like? Are you inside? Are you outside? Who is with you? When is this? What is happening? And why is it happening? And then what I want you to do when you tell it, you're going to tell it because we're in a context where things have to be short right now on the phone. You're going to tell it including the success and the problem. Success will be early on in the story, even if you keep going even if you go backwards. You can often tell the end and then go back to the beginning or intersperse them. And you're just going to tell that one incident that came to you, even if there are other stories, because part of what you learn to do is to pick which story for which situation and which client. So, okay, Linda, so just tell your story.
So I love the fact that you said put the success at the front because I've been telling it very linear, which had the success and the realization at the far end. So
good, so try it in reverse.
Yeah. So the day came when I decided I'd absolutely had enough and threw in the towel working as a consultant for the Disney company. I made that decision standing in the hall outside of an office where I had just come from a meeting and had the realization that there's two kinds of ease in the world. There's the E associated with being an employee, even if you're very high level in a corporation and you're one of the leaders. There's still the mindset of the employee, and there's the mindset of the entrepreneur. And that was the moment when I had the realization that has built the rest of the work I've done since. So now I'm pausing for a minute because I'm trying to figure out, do I tell the realization now or do I tell the realization at the other end of the event?
Tell the realization right now.
So I realized standing there in the hallway that my passion is unleashing potential, not sitting around waiting. And what that meant for me is I'm passionate about working with entrepreneurs who care in their own pocket, can this work easier and better on Tuesday? Because I walked out of a meeting talking to the leaders of a business unit that had put the company in a complete stall for 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sat down with him to ask him, with my background in consulting and strategic planning and helping organizations and teams improve how they're led, how they're managed, the bottom line results they're getting in their business, he looked at me and said, I'm really looking forward to having you head up one of two teams, and we'll be ready for you in 6 months.
Wow.
And that moment was when I knew I'd had enough. Now, mind you, I smiled at him and said, great, I'm looking forward to it, and stood up and walked out of his office. And as soon as I was on the other side of the door standing in the hallway, I knew I was done. I knew I was ready for what was next for me, which was to be able to go help people who actually want to make decisions, even if they're imperfect decisions, and take action, even if it's imperfect action, and get things solved and get things better and get themselves and their businesses growing to the next level.
Beautiful. And that's so what you do, Linda. I cannot even count the a million times that I have called you and you have had the exact insight that I needed, the exact perception of where I am, have met me exactly where I am and guided me to exactly where I need to go. And that, you know, and those moments are so much our gifts that we receive, and they're often hard moments, and at the same time they are the moments that kind of push us up that hill. And it is so powerful to have somebody's hands helping you when you go up that hill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think, and then when we tell each other our stories, it is helping each other go up the hill. It creates a culture of giving, and that's so much what we're seeing now, I think, especially in the entrepreneurial world. We're seeing how important it is that we give to each other, and that when we give a story, then we're together. We're not in competition with each other. And one of the things that you find is that there are many people who are coaches or many people that are healers, and they're not in competition because each one of them has such a unique story. And I'm going to connect maybe to your story or to her story. And that connection, that story connection, I think Gina mentioned that when she tells her story, the people who are going to buy from her, they connect to that story, and then they're ready to go. And that's part of the power of really telling an authentic story. And when we do that, we feel good because we're in a true, authentic place, and the people listening to us feel good.
And
I'll give you one more tip.
Yeah.
Which is, that people will often say to me, but I'm scared, or I'm not sure what I'm going to say, or, and I always say, start where you are. And when you start in the place that you authentically are and then go from there, people will go down the road with you because you're not in resistance and you're not hiding. So if I'm a little scared, I have to be together, I have to be professional, but I can still say, you know, I'm always scared when I get up and do this. But you know what? I do it anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So owning that starting where you are is also very powerful.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm noticing my back chat from the corner of my brain, which is saying it all feels very peculiar because coming from a background that's involved being analytical and problem solving for businesses and so on, there's this history of feeling like you must explain things, left brain, you must describe things in business terms and so on. And I think actually, I'm not quite certain how to say it. What is it I'm looking to say here? That we have the background and we have the history of being told in scholastic settings that you have to be able to explain things, business matter of fact. I'm often teaching my clients who get caught in story that they have to speak business matter of fact and so on. And at the same time, when we're trying to create connections, it's about getting off of the business matter of fact and into relationship first. So I notice as I'm just looking at the control board that we had lost Devorah for a minute. So Devorah is back. And welcome back,
just
Devorah.
To the land of story.
The land of story as you disappeared. So I'll just say this in one or two sentences, which is just to recap what I was saying while you dialed back in, which is that coming from a scholastic system that teaches you to explain things analytically, coming from work situations where you had to explain things analytically, I work with clients who are stuck in emotion and teach them how to get out of emotion by becoming business matter of fact, which is very left brain. It's an interesting sensation to have to instead come at it the other way and choose to not be offering the what I do and how I do it and so on as the starting point.
Right. Right, and I think that's true for a lot of people in the in business, that that's not their usual mode, and it's a great addition to that very effective usual mode, and
yeah.
That's why starting with the image and metaphor and closing the eyes is very powerful and very helpful to people who are so used to using that analytical side of their brains that they do so well, like you. So what if we were working longer, we would do a bunch more metaphor images. We would go back in and get another metaphor and another and another, and then you have all of these images, and then they are available to you whenever you want them. And often what people do, like the businessman that I trained who did the contract for Microsoft, the first time I trained him, I said, did you do it? He said, no, I forgot. Because he said, my problem is I go in to a sales situation and I talk so much that they glaze over. And I said, you have to start with the metaphor, and then that will hold a lot of your content. And then he, before his big contract presentation, he remembered to do my exercise where he closed his eyes and went through that process of state to stop, think, ask, trust, explain. And he got a powerful image, he wrote it down, and then he used it. But he prepped. And for people, most people will have to do that. You will have to prep ahead of time and really do that work to connect and get a metaphor and decide to use it. I'm training a financial planner, and he's practicing on his wife because he feels nervous to use a metaphor with a client, because there can also be a sense, well, it's not businesslike.
Right.
And it takes a little bit of practice to become comfortable using this, but it's extremely fun and effective. And people love to hear images and metaphors. They get it. And the other amazing thing about images and metaphors is that you will never forget it. Like, I will never forget your hands reaching out, and I will never forget Gina's puzzle with the puzzle box and the candle. Like, I got that. If I think of Gina, I don't know Gina like I know you. But now I know. I can tell somebody, oh, yeah, Gina, she's the person who helps you put the puzzle together by giving you the puzzle box which you had lost so you actually see where you're going, and she lights the way. And for me, the candle that Gina talked about is also that deeper work. She lights the way. And I think that's, Gina, if you're still there, that's that powerful additional image that the candle has, which is a deeper core connection.
I definitely agree. I'm going to have that candle image put on my PowerPoint theme.
Good for you. But that's so much of this work that, and Linda talked about it in the beginning too, that inner-outer work. And
exactly.
Your candle puzzle box really kind of represent, sometimes you can't find the puzzle box without the candle. You know, and people are so much in their lives just running around trying to gather all their puzzle pieces together, having no idea what picture they're making and have no connection to their core, and then they're completely burnt out and frustrated. And if you don't start with that core work, you still don't know why you're putting your puzzle pieces together, because you don't know what you're trying to make. So, and Linda, now, you know, you might say to somebody, why do you have to do this by yourself? Why do you have to do this by yourself? Here's somebody holding their hands out to you. You don't have to do it alone. And that's a very powerful core inner message that a certain kind of person really needs. And when they go, when I hold your hand, you are going to get access to all of this help that you won't have to do by yourself. And so that's what an image or a metaphor can do. And it's very, very powerful. And it's a fun training. It's very nice because it's not like, oh, we're just going to, like, try harder here.
Right.
I recently did a demonstration of this work for a nonprofit, Family and Children's Services here in Portland, Oregon. And I did it for their executive director and their marketing director. And the marketing director, she said, and I said, we're going to close our eyes. She said, oh, I'm not really good at this stuff. I said, that's okay. Nobody is. Just do it anyway. And when I'm done, she said, you got me. That was great. It was so concrete. And even though I made her do the whole breathing thing, I put her through the exact thing I just put you guys through, and she came out with a great image, and she loved her image. And the executive director, who was going to stay 5 minutes, stayed for an hour and had a very beautiful, powerful image. And they left feeling nourished, not just inspired, but nourished, because how often do executives get to sit down and breathe and be quiet?
You're very doing amazing powerful. Work. I mean, I know you've been flown all around the country working with technology companies and nonprofits, and I know you did a retreat with an entire development team, a large team of a nonprofit.
So actually, I didn't do it yet. I'm doing that tomorrow.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought that was a couple of months ago, and it's
you're right. I didn't. They didn't do a full day. The one I did here in the fall was not. They did not do a full day. Tomorrow, this company has.
I
really
remember being
gone,
really cool. Like, it changed the relationships of the people on the development team themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that completely happened in our Jewish Federation here. They did that for their professional staff and for their solicitors. And when the solicitors came in the room and I told them what we were going to do, you could just see the vaguely disguised eye rolling going around the table. But when they were done, it was a palpable different feeling in the room. They felt so proud of what they do, the company, the organization they work for. It was an unbelievably transformative experience for them, and they went out with being reinvigorated to their mission and with all of these powerful images and metaphors to use when they went to solicit funds for their organization. So it does double duty in the nonprofit. It both reinvigorates the team to the mission and gives them some powerful tools when they go to solicit funds for their organization.
Yeah.
And then
on
the other hand, I did a software company, which is completely different. They're a for-profit, big, large software company, and for their marketing team, the same thing happened. They did this work, and they went, I love your image. Can I use that? I love yours. And they had a logo that was an abstract kind of image with blue and green, and I said, what does your logo mean? And they said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? No, it's just a really beautiful image that's our, tag for our company. I said, okay, everybody go around and interpret the logo. And they gave such amazing interpretations of how their company was like their logo that they were like, we're going to do this as a contest for our customers. But it had never occurred to them to actually interpret their logo. And actually the Jewish Family Services, they did that with their logo. They started to interpret their logo and came up with all this rich content attached to their logo. But they had never really taken the time to do it. So it's very powerful. It's a little tricky in a good way.
It's perfectly tricky because we don't think of ourselves as it being a day-in, day-out assignment to tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a gift that you're showing people in so many contexts that we get to slow down, connect first with ourselves, speak from the metaphor, speak from our story as the start of the connection. And then from being connected, now be speaking and talking with the other person rather than on assignment to get some message through.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't,
by the way, powerful. I want our listeners to know that they can find out all the information about your programs and all of the different trainings that you have. I created a quick link, which is bbdnow.com/storyselling. So that's a quick and simple way for people to get to SpillmanStorySelling.com. And at the beginning, we said that there were a couple of different ways that we were going to show people some of the elements that you focus on. So we've talked about metaphor. And we've talked
and
about...
telling your own story. And then the one we didn't talk about is how you tell your clients' success stories.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's kind of the same thing. What you have to do is you have to pick one either exactly truly real person, or you can even do what I call a composite story, where you kind of put a couple stories together, but you have to tell it the same way we talked about telling your own story. You have to tell it with the emotion, the sensory details, and the success and the failure, the success and the struggle, I should say, in the story at the same time. And the other thing is you have to think about who you're telling the story to and why you're telling it. Because you want to make sure that the story that you're telling is really for the person you're telling it to or the audience that you're telling it to. So you have to know why you're telling it and what you want, what you're, why is it going to help the person that you're, it can't be, there's a difference, there's testimonials, which we all need, which are to give ourselves credibility, that people should see that, oh, this person has helped other people like me. So that's one kind of story, which are testimonials. And then there's another, which is I'm telling you this story because it's going to give you the feeling and the information that you need in this moment.
So what's the before and after example of one of those kinds of stories, perhaps, that you've worked on with someone else? Like, how were they approaching it, and then how did it get recrafted? What did it sound like after?
I don't know if I can tell you that right now, because it's not so much before and after as much as all the work that I do takes you. It's not how someone else did it. You have to go to that. You have to go back to that inner place. You have to connect with what is the source message. So, for example, for you, Linda, if you were going to tell a client story to me,
mm-hmm.
a success story, a client story, success story to me, because you know me. So what I would have you do is the same thing. I would have you close your eyes, think of the story that you're going to tell me. What is the feeling? What's the message? What's the success? What's the thing that was overcome? With a little bit of sensory detail.
Okay.
And then tell me.
Oh, this is so much fun. Eek! Let's see here. So the imagery that came to me is, and it's so typical of the folks I work with, that they feel like they're overwhelmed and drowning in detail.
Okay,
so now I'm
so
trying.
Now you have to tell me, Cynthia sat in front of her computer with her head down, tears getting into the computer keyboard because whatever. You have to start with a very specific moment of a real person, even if you have to composite it and make it up. But you have to start with a real person with a real feeling and a real moment of struggle and how they got out of it. Because as soon as you say they, that's not a story.
Mm-hmm.
That's information. That's
mm-hmm.
general.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work. I mean, it works in certain situations, but that's not a story. A story takes you into the feelings of a person in a moment. And if it's not in a moment, can't be a story. It's a generalization then.
Right.
So you have to tell it in the moment.
Oh, so I get to say this is spooky weird because I feel like I'm being a voyeur inventing a picture of this, of the state someone else was in. It's so interesting. It feels,
but you
it's a very peculiar
know.
Feeling for somebody
but most of the
to summarizing
talking,
things, you know.
Right, but if you think of a specific client, think of a real client. Can you think of a real client? Can you know the that client's pain?
Yeah.
You know that client, so you are not making up that client's pain.
Right, so Adrian was sitting at his desk, surrounded by the cubes of 45 people on his team, trying to have a conversation with a client and being interrupted for the 10th time in 10 minutes, and had steam coming out of his ears in utter frustration of trying to figure out how to get focused on what needed his highest attention right then, and had no idea what to do with his team in order to get them to step up and take responsibility for trying to problem solve things first before coming to him.
Powerful. That is so clear. If I was a person sitting in that situation, I would want to know how to get out of it too, because you painted a very clear picture of a problem.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you can do more with that. That was exactly what I'm talking about, because that was a very concrete, clear problem. That's a big problem. And then you go on to say how you helped him and how you can help how you've helped lots of people who sat in their cubicle with 45 people interrupting them and no idea how to manage their team. That is a very hard problem to solve, and if you can solve that problem, then you are gold, because so many people have no clue. That is a very complicated problem to solve, because you're not just helping him. It's not just, you just painted a picture. It's not him. It's not just him. You're solving an extraordinarily complicated problem there, which then takes step by step, and then you can begin to unpack it and how you do that. So that's where you start if that's the kind of person you're talking to. Do you see what I mean?
I do.
So
I don't want us to run out of time, because we only have about 4 minutes. But
one
of the things that I teach my students to do is, in figuring out what they're going to use to monetize their business, I have them create what I call a vortex. And the vortex is basically, what are those topics that come together to create the message that you share with your audience? So in what I do, there are 5 core systems that every business needs. And everything I teach involves one of those 5 core systems or tying them together. As I got underway in building my business, I literally had to think about a story for each one of those 5 topics. So I use my own story for the first pillar of the vortex, which relates to mindset. I have another pillar which deals with monetization, and I have a story about a former client that really is a beautiful example of monetization, that telling that one story makes people go, oh, so many times, because it's someone in the wedding niche who had a line of wedding dresses, was getting 10,000 visitors a month to her website, but hadn't been able to make $500 in 2 months in a row ever in like 3 years. So it's because she didn't really look at monetization strategically. And for each one of those 5 core systems, there's another story that I tell.
I actually
have a universal story that I've created that's completely fictitious, that's told about this little guy by the name of Joe. And I use this story about Joe because in telling it, I can emphasize different pieces and get it to relate no matter which one of those 5 topics I happen to be talking about at any given moment.
Right. And that's,
and Linda's really come up with these 4. Yes. Linda's got these 4 pillars to her vortex. What she really needs now is to come up with the stories for each one of those that she uses over and over and over again in everything she does.
Right, and that's purposing your story very specifically. And the one you said that you, your universal story, that's another form of image metaphor. It's like a parable can be a story, it can be an image or a metaphor.
Gotcha.
So you're using that that universal one you said that you just made up, that's actually a metaphor.
Yes, it is.
For your, and that's why you can change it and move it around, because that's an image and it's a container for your a very big idea that and becomes, you know, whereas the anecdotal stories are more specific and purpose to each thing. And both of those are very powerful. And like you said, you've attached your story to your content and your purpose, and that's very powerful to do it that way.
Yeah, and as long as I'm going out telling stories in this way, I don't ever have to talk about the features and benefits of what I'm selling. The story does the selling for me on its own. I basically
right.
refer to the fact that there is something to buy, but it's the story that gets them to want it even before I tell them what it is.
Correct. So well done. You've already done what I'm teaching. I'm very proud of you.
Well, we definitely have to talk, Devorah, because my people, that is the one really hard thing that they don't get. I
mm-hmm.
don't do a good job of teaching that piece. And
mm-hmm.
for us to take what you teach and what I teach and put them together would create a beautiful package.
Good. Well, I would be thrilled and delighted to do that because it really is my passion. Stories are so I just love everything about stories. And it turns out to be surprising. When you do what I teach, it turns out to be surprisingly easier than people think. But
no,
you do have
way
to look
easier.
At it.
Way easier.
Yeah.
I'm in Devorah.
Linda, can you get Devorah to set up a time on my calendar, pretty please, in the next couple weeks?
I absolutely will.
Okay,
and Devorah,
so much.
Setting up time with you, too.
Exactly, my pleasure.
Oh, Linda, with and, where you're at, that will be so helpful for you.
Exactly, because I have too many stories that I keep trying to figure out which story to use, and as you said, figure out one for each of the core strategies I teach, the systems I teach in my business, and now I've got them anchored. Fabulous.
That's a great way to look at it, and it's a great way to organize it so that it's very concrete.
Yeah.
Well, we are definitely out of time, ladies. Devorah, thank you so much for being here, and I'm really looking
My
forward
pleasure.
To connecting with you off the air as well.
Likewise, and people want to connect with me, can just call me on the telephone or send me an email. I don't really have anything to opt in yet on my website, so just use the old-fashioned.
Oh, we'll fix that along the way, I promise you.
Okay.
Exactly.
We'll get there.
Well, Linda and I will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a fantastic week, everybody.
Bye-bye. Join us Tuesday
Bye-bye.
At noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.